give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?
Welcome to Hopecasts, where our true stories brighten your day by providing insight and encouragement. I invite you to listen as my husband, Dr. Ken Brown, shares one of his amazing personal experiences that will inspire and stir your soul. Even in the challenges of life's darkest moments, you can always find a glimmer of hope through the love of God. So settle in, open your heart, and let's journey together through the power of storytelling.
Only God can do that. I was a police officer driving an unmarked police car that day when I got the call. The dispatcher directed me to go to this home in the suburbs. And when I drove up, there was a man dressed all in black. And he was knocking at a door, not even pounding at the door, just knocking. So I got out of my unmarked police car, and he took one look at me, and he went into one of those stances. You know, one of the postures that you know that that person is acquainted with martial arts. That man has lived a life of violence, and I could smell the danger on him. The little hairs in my head back, my neck back, you know, stood up on end. But I walked right up to him, and I smiled at him. And I put my hand out to shake his. He was posturing with his one foot forward, his other hand behind his back. It was like a rattlesnake coiled to strike. But when I put my hand out to shake his hand, he looked at me with a quizzical look. And I said, "I'm Constable Brown. I'm here because someone inside has called and said that you keep on knocking on their door. Not that you've done anything wrong. What is going on here today?" He looked at me and he kind of relaxed. His shoulders slumped a little bit. He put his head to the side and he reached out his hand and he shook my hand. Very firm grip. I said, "I want to know what's going on, but I see that you look very, very sad. They don't really want you here at the house. Hey, would you like to talk to me at my car?" I said, "Okay." So we went down the three steps, down to the ground, walked to my car, which is very closely parked to this front door. And he went to the back door of the police car. Instead, I opened the front door. I said, "Oh no, you don't need to sit in the back, sit in the front." He looked at me, now wide-eyed in wonder. He said, "I've never been in the front seat of a police car before." Well, he didn't know that because I didn't have a cage, I didn't have a protection between the front and the back seat, putting him in the front seat was actually a lot safer than putting him in the back seat with no protection. And that way I could keep my eye on him. And then, of course, I asked for his identification and I asked him what was going on. And he was saying, well, the problem is that his wife, girlfriend, was very mad at him. And so she went over to a friend of hers and he was trying to get her to come back home. Really, he had hit her and she had left him because he was a very, very violent man. So when I checked him out, it turned out that he was an enforcer, an officer for the Paradise Motorcycle Gang. He had a rap sheet, literally, that was 6 feet long. When we printed off his rap sheet, it was taller than he was. And he unfortunately had done a lot of things wrong, including rape, assault on police officers, numerous assaults. He had two black belts in two different disciplines, and he was a very violent man. He said to me, he said, "I've never met an officer like you." And I said, "Well, I can't take any credit at all, but I gave my heart to God. I asked Jesus to save me. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And he's filled me with love for everyone, including you, even though you're a biker. You know, God is not a, does not show favoritism. God loves every single person. And no matter what you've done, he still loves you. And he's got a plan for your life. And George, I don't know what's going on, but you look extremely sad. He said, can we just get away from the house? I said, well, you want me to leave your motorcycle here? He said, well, just drive down the street. So I drove about 100 yards away, so it wasn't in front of the street. And I started to talk to him. He says, I'm so sad. I'm so distressed. I'm so depressed because all my whole world is Dorothy. I love her. And I want to be with her, but I can't help it. I have these. I slip. I just get violent. I can't stop myself. It's like there's response conditioning. It's like a little frog. He goes in for the fly. And every time if someone pokes the bear, they get the horn. And in fact, I was going to take you out. I was coiled like a snake. Exactly the picture I saw. And I was going to hit you. But then you smiled at me. And this light was coming from behind you. This glow. I couldn't even look you in the face. And I felt this love. I couldn't hit you. I wanted to. Because you're nothing but a cop to me. But I couldn't. And so I started to talk to you. And you shook my hand. You treated me like a person. You asked me to come in the front seat. And you showed me that you cared. And with that, he started crying. This tough biker with a 6-foot-long rap sheet. And he started to say he wanted to kill himself. And so now I'm concerned that I had to do a mental health arrest on this man to protect himself from himself. He says, no, I don't mean that. It's just that I'm so distressed that I want to off myself. I don't want to be here anymore. So I said that, you know, it's not the end. It's not the end. God's got a plan for you. And I said, if you'd like, I'll talk to your wife. He says, you'll talk to my wife? I said, yeah, sure. I'll talk to him. And I'll tell her that you want to maybe get some counseling. You want to make a difference. He says, I'm willing. And so I talked to him for about 40 minutes. I gave him my card. I gave him my home phone number, which was, you're not supposed to do, but that's what I did. And he says, no cop has ever given me their phone number. I said, you're not just a biker. You're a person. And God led you to me. And I'm supposed to show you the love of Jesus today. That's my job. You think my job is to arrest you? No. My job is to help you. He started crying again. He says, this is like nothing I ever expected. I told him, phone me tonight. So then he gets out of the car. I drove back and he drives away in his motorcycle. And that's when I knocked on the door of the house. Well, Dorothy came to the door. I am so glad he left. And I was so scared for you because the last time he beat up all these officers. He's so violent. But he went and he got in the car with you. We were peeking through the windows and you were talking to him. And you talked to him for 45 minutes. He didn't talk to anybody for 45 minutes. I said, I was telling him that God loved him and God's got a plan for him, but he needs to ask God to help him with this terrible temper that he has. And that, he says, and she says, yeah, see what he did to me? And there was a little red boo-boo on her right upper cheek. I said, well, do you want to charge him? Oh, no, we can't. I can't charge him. He's a biker. They'd kill me. The gang would kill me. You understand? They would kill me. Well, it turned out that she was a stripper, and she carried a .32 caliber handgun in her purse, and she ran coke, and she was in charge of the escort service. Wow, this wasn't just your sweet, pretty girl. She was tough. She had a code name, Magenta. You know, everybody's got a name that they see on the street, so no one really knows who they are. But I talked to her, and she says, you don't mind the fact that I'm a stripper? I said, well, she actually called herself a dancer, because you understand that all strippers call themselves dancers. But I said, no. I said, because God loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter what you're doing, he still loves you. And he loves George. And he's got a plan for George's life, and he's got a plan for your life. She says, you're strange. I said, yes, I'm a peculiar person because God has made me into somebody that he wants to, I'm his servant. I want to serve him. So I gave her my phone number too. That night she called me, George called me. Guess what? They got together again. They started counseling, even met with me. I met them a few times to try and encourage them. And I told them, I says, you have zero chance of making your relationship work or be happy in your life as long as you're living in sin. As long as you're doing the things that are destructive, you know this deep in your heart. I'm telling you what you already know. You need to change your life because you're going the wrong way. For the next 2 years, every time I'm driving in the middle of the night, there was a car. The car was not necessarily speeding, but I just knew I had to pull that car out. And do you know who it was? It was George. And he had always a different woman in the car because, you see, he was running escort service. He was taking strippers or prostitutes to people's houses, and he was working protection because he was an enforcer and a protector for the Paradise Gang. One day, 2 years later, I met him again, only this time, he was desperate. Dorothy left me again. I can't believe it. Okay, we actually got married. Things started to do better after we met with you a few times. But I got jealous and I beat her up and now she won't come, she won't even talk to me. I hit her and she's not answering her phone. I tried to phone her. She wasn't answering her phone to me either. And he says, I'm just so distressed. So I said, you need the Lord. Listen, talk to this man. He's a biker. He's in the Christian bikers. Talk to him. He can also talk to you about Jesus. The next day, I get a phone call from George. Thank you so much for giving me his number. Ron led me to the Lord. I'm a Christian. He says, I can't believe it. I realize now what you're talking about. I've got a peace. As soon as I started to pray and I started to ask God in my heart, I felt this peace. Even though Dorothy's not home, he says, in fact, I want to get baptized. I want you there. Please come. It's on Sunday night. I said, okay. So then I went to the church, and there at the front of the church with three or four other people was George Powell, the biker, in a white gown, and they dunked him. He got baptized. And after they got baptized, they asked him, well, you know, how did you find the Lord? And with that, soaking wet, he stood up in front of this congregation with 1,000 people, and he says, well, it all happened because of that man there, because he's a Christian, and he's a cop, and he was going to arrest me, but instead of arresting me, he told me about Jesus, and he showed me God's love. And in a long story short, that's why I'm here, and that's why I decided to follow Jesus, and that's why I'm here. I'm going, what just happened? I was coming here to witness him being baptized, and in fact, he was giving glory to me. And I told him, I said, no, all glory belongs to God. God is the one that has worked in your heart. God is the one that has saved you. God is the one that put us together. And he says, yes, I know, and I agree. But still, it wouldn't have happened without you. See, God uses all of us. But that's because we're just his hands and his feet. He's the one that directs us. He's the one that puts the love of God into us. He's the one that puts words in our mouth and gives us the opportunity to share the treasure of his presence with people like George Powell. Now, Monday, the next day, I had to go to the police department. And I'm with my partner, Jimmy Ray. And we were just ready to go out on patrol when there was a phone call. The most unexpected phone call that came into the police department. It was George Powell. He said, Constable Brown, I have to talk to you. I had to get you. I've been phoning you, and I'm so glad you showed up for work. I said, okay, how can I help you? He says, you don't know what just happened. You don't know. I couldn't sleep all night. Ever since I got baptized, I couldn't sleep. I'm torn apart. I'm racked by guilt because you don't know what I did because Dorothy left me. 3 weeks ago, I planted drugs in her car, and then I called the tips hotline, and they're going to arrest her. They've got her plate. They've got the model of her car, and I put all these drugs in her backseat, and they're going to arrest her, and then they're going to find her with her cocaine and her .32 caliber handgun, and you know what's going to happen? She's going to go to jail. And it's all because of me, because I set her up, because I was so mad at her that she left me. But now that I'm a Christian, now that I got baptized, I can't think, I can't breathe, I can't swallow, I can't concentrate. I can't have any peace until I tell you. I said, George, this police line is taped. You know that I have to come and arrest you now. Do what you have to do. I'm here. Come and get me. Because I just don't want her. I don't want her to be arrested for something that she didn't do. Well, so my partner and I drove to this other county. And sure enough, he admitted. He gave us a signed statement in our book. And we had to arrest him. And we put him in prison. We actually put him in jail. And he was released on his own signature. So for the next 3 months before his first appearance, I talked to him. And he says he's got an attorney. And he says, I'm going to take whatever I'm going to take. There were 5 different charges. And with his record, he'd go down. He'd do, because of the points. He was going to serve serious time. And I was the star witness, my partner and I. So we went back to that courtroom 3 months later on the first appearance. And do you know who was there? George Powell. Do you know who wasn't there? His attorney. And meanwhile, his attorney was supposed to be there to represent him. His attorney was not there. And do you know who else was there? 4 other police officers from Peel Regional. The ones that had found the drugs in the car. The ones that had finally located Dorothy, his wife's car. And they were the ones that processed the charges for a false statement. Possession of drugs, because George obviously had had them, and all sorts of other charges. So he told me, George told me, I'm going to plead guilty to all 5 charges. I said, wait for your attorney. He says, no, I did the crime. I'm going to do the time. I did wrong. And at the back of the court, there was Dorothy with a hostile look in her face. I went over to talk to her, and she said, and I told her, the reason that you didn't get arrested is, and I told her what he had done. He had phoned me and confessed and then interceded for you. And that's the reason that you didn't get arrested. And he'd even warned you to make sure that you don't have anything on you when they come. And that's why you're not arrested. She says, that doesn't sound like George. I said, it wasn't George. It's the new George. It's the new person that was created in Christ Jesus. The old George would never have done that. The old George is the one that hit you, beat you up. The old George is the one that put the drugs in the car. But this new George couldn't sleep, couldn't breathe after he had given his heart to the Lord and got baptized. And he was convicted by the Lord. And that's why he's willing to stand up today and take his lumps, take his punishment because of what he did. And just then, the case was called. And George stood up in court. And the judge says, where's your attorney? He says he didn't show. You mean your attorney didn't show to represent you? No, Your Honor. He says, well, I'm here to take a plea. Do you want to wait for your attorney? He says, no, sir. I know that I did this, and my wife is in court, and what I did to her was atrocious. And I'm here to admit to it. He said, what are you planning to do? There's 5 charges. Your Honor, I'm going to admit to all of them. He said, well, it doesn't work like that. You have to read them out one by one. So they read one charge. Well, how do you plead? Guilty, Your Honor. Next charge, guilty, Your Honor. 5 times it went on like that. He says, you mean you're pleading guilty to all 5 and you're not even trying to talk to the prosecutor and doing a deal? He says, Your Honor, I've done all 5 of these things and I had no right. But he says that there's something different about me. You've got to understand is that I've become a Christian. And that's why I had to call the officer and confess and tell him everything. He said, what are you talking about? With that, I stood up and I said, Your Honor, may I approach the bench? He says, yes, I'm the arresting officer. He says, this is most irregular. I said, yes, Your Honor, but I would like to speak on behalf of the defendant. Meanwhile, the other 4 officers from Peel Regional were saying, sit down, sit down. But instead, I swore myself in and I explained exactly what I've just told you, what happened. And I said to the judge, I said, in fact, he would never have been caught. Who would have taken all the punishment would have been his wife. But because he had given his life to God and he had just been baptized, he was so convicted that he called us. And then he repeated it. And he gave us a signed statement. And he gave us the ability to warn Dorothy and help Peel make sure they didn't do an arrest and jump to the wrong conclusions, that Dorothy had drugs in her car. And he says, and because of that, that's why we're here. And I might point out to the court that not only is his lawyer not here, but he's pled guilty to all five charges. And more than that, Your Honor, he would never have been caught if it wasn't for the fact that he had a change of heart. So the judge says, well, what are you saying, officer, exactly? I said, in my experience, when a person has such a profound change, he likely will never be in this court again. Despite his prolific record, there's a change, a profound change that has come to this man through his Savior Jesus. The judge said, I've never heard this before. Let me think about this. So he's up at the bench and he's thinking, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 4 minutes with nothing being said. That's forever in a courtroom. And finally, the judge told George to stand up and he said, then I'm putting you on house arrest for 6 months and I'm putting you on probation for 3 years and I've decided not to incarcerate you. And the only time that you're allowed to leave is when you're going to counseling or going to work. The courtroom erupted. Those four other officers were mad at me. They actually came to me after the court case and says, don't ever bother coming back to Peel County again because we'll make up something and have you charged under the Highway Traffic Act because, you know, you've blown this case for us because you interceded for a biker. The only thing better than a biker is a dead biker. You know, once a biker, always a biker. And I said to him, that's not true. This man, don't you see how he's changed? It's just crocodile tears. I said, no, it's not. He wouldn't have been caught. And my partner said, put his hand on my shoulder and said, let's get out of here. Well, guess what happened? Not only did that happen, but the next week I got a call from George. Guess who's back? Guess who's back in my home? Dorothy. Dorothy came back to me because she said, there's no way you could have changed unless God did a miracle. Please, please. Come to church on Sunday, and because I want you to know that we're going to be there. I don't want you to see Dorothy for yourself. So I come to that church service, and I stand at the back of the church with 1,100 people. And I have these eyes, cop eyes. You know the type of eyes where you kind of look like this and you look like that, and immediately you see your target. You see the person. You see the most wanted. You see the dangerous person. But I went back and forth and back and forth. I couldn't see George nor Dorothy. Matter of fact, I believed that they weren't even at the church. And then finally, they swam into view. There they were, four rows from the front. They were there, but my eyes went past them because they did not look like the George and Dorothy I knew. I came and I sat beside Dorothy. And she smiled, she beamed, she had this glow about her. George did too. George shook my hand. Dorothy gave me her hug and said, thank you for bringing my man back. And it was offering time. And she gave me a piece of paper. And she says, can I put this in the offering plate? And it said this. I've decided to give up all drugs and all alcohol and give my heart to the Lord. I want to put this in the offering plate. Is that okay, Constable Brown? And I said, Dorothy, it would make God very happy that you put yourself in the offering plate. And you know what? They reconciled. And then he had to quit the gang. You can't quit a gang. You can't leave a gang. But guess what? They let him. Without killing him, they let him. And he moved away to a little town called Aurelia. And he lived in a mobile home. And I had the honor of going up and seeing him. And do you know what I first thing I came and saw when I knocked at that door? There was a Salvation Army officer in their house in full dress with a hat, the black toots with the red stripe. And who was inside that? Dorothy. Dorothy became a Salvation Army officer. And there on the front lawn was a shiny new hog, a Harley Davidson with Christian biker logo. Do you know who ended up joining and becoming an officer in the Christian Bikers up in Orillia? George Powell. This couple had changed their life through Jesus. Who would have expected that? Only God is that powerful and can do that type of transformation in a person's life. And you know, God can also transform you. It's not, you're not too difficult for God. All you need to do is, just like George and Dorothy, you got to give yourself to God. You got to give yourself and let God have his way in you. And all of the problems that you've got really are just something that God is using to draw you to yourself. Let him have his way and let him change your life. He's got a better plan for you than you do for yourself. That's because God really loves you. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning into HopeCast for inspiring stories that will touch your heart. If today's story encouraged you, then please subscribe to our channel and visit us at hopecast.org to learn more. You can also watch the video version of this story and many more from Dr. Brown on our HopeCasts YouTube, or listen on our Spotify, Apple, or Amazon Music podcasts. Until next time, keep holding on to hope, and please share these stories with someone who really needs encouragement. May God bless you.
I've been searching and I've been seeking. It seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I'd do anything just to see. If I close my eyes, will I see you now? 'Cause I know faith holds in what can't be seen. But my hope feels like a distant dream. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Would you turn me back around?